very much. Well, if you'll join me this morning, we're going to hop right into our lesson. Head on over, if you would, please. We're going to head to Genesis there. Genesis chapter 7 is where we'll be starting out this morning. Now, today is Father's Day. Yes, today is a day that we dedicate to our fathers. It's a day of remembrance, a day when we think back on them. We reserve this day for the distinct purpose of reflecting on our father's words, on the sacrifices that they've made, the wisdom that they've shared with us, and most of all, on the love that they've given to us. Those of us in this room today who are fathers, we often take this time out to enjoy a little bit of pampering from the family. But if you're like me, then you also take this time to reflect on yourself as a father, to think about how you're doing, to kind of give yourself a temperature check, if you will. The importance of a father in a person's life is immeasurable. It is something which cannot be replaced. Like so many things in life, fatherhood, however, does not come with an instruction book. Now, what that means is that we often have to learn about fatherhood as we go, don't we, men? And that means that if we're wise, we take those lessons and apply them, which means that we change as fathers as we go. Hopefully not making the same mistakes that we may have made earlier on in our fatherhood. This morning, I'd like to discuss some of the fathers that we see in the Bible, discuss some of the things about these men, lessons to learn from, things to emulate. And we're also going to take a look at some of the fathers in the Bible and talk about things that they did and hopefully learn some lessons from them on what not to do. You know, as the songs that we just sang this morning, and as I'm reflecting on God and His glory and how good He is, it reminds me that our Heavenly Father, how much of an example He is, and how, men, we've got an example that I don't think we could ever live up to. My, are we blessed to be able to be called the children of God, that we have a Heavenly Father who reigns supreme over all things. Never forget how blessed that you are, folks. Never forget. And today, as you're thinking of your earthly fathers, think of your Heavenly Father as well. Join me as we pray for the message. Father God, we come to you this morning to thank you, Lord, for the time that we have here to fellowship, Lord, and to praise you, for you are worthy of it. Lord, we thank you for Calvary, for the cross, Lord, what was done there, that we who are sinners, Lord, that you first loved us, Lord, and that you made it possible that we would be able to be adopted into the family of God. Lord, that you would call us your children. Father, we thank you for fathers that you've put here on earth, Lord, for each one who you've made a father, who you've given a blessing to, and who you use day in and day out, Lord, to reflect you as a father, Lord. You use the family in so many ways to show us your truths, Lord, and to teach us things. Father, we thank you for our earthly fathers and the blessings that they are in our lives, the things that we learn from them. Lord, we also thank you. Lord, we praise your name, that you would be a father to us. Father, we pray for the message today. Lord, help me please to speak it clearly, Lord, to think clearly, to deliver the message that you've played upon my heart. And Lord, let us all have hearts that are open to receive it, Lord, ears to hear it, that it would affect us. Lord, that it would cause us who are fathers to think on ourselves as fathers. Lord, whether or not we are the fathers that you've called us to be. Lord, also help us to think on those who are fathers in our lives, Lord, and help us to, Lord, be thankful for them and to reflect back on the investment that they've put into our lives. Lord, we love you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I guess I'd better turn there myself. In case you didn't turn there just yet, we're going to Genesis chapter 7 this morning as we begin to take a look at the first father that we're going to take a look at. And if you're in Genesis chapter 7, then I would imagine that you already know who we're going to talk about, because there's only one man who's really spoken of in Genesis chapter 7. We're going to be talking about Noah this morning. Noah. Now, I've titled Noah And the example that I want us to get from him is the leading father, is the title that I've given to Noah. All right? I want us to look at him as a father who leads his family. Join me there in chapter 7 of Genesis and read verse 13 with me, if you would. Verse 13. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. And you may be thinking at this moment, what does that have to do with anything of Father's Day? What does that have to do with leading? I want you to notice something there about 13. What is the first thing that it says in verse 13? Entered Noah. And after Noah, it lists his entire family who went with him, who followed his footsteps into the ark. I want you to take a note of something today. This passage is important, and there's some things I want us to get from it. We see Noah, who is a righteous man. He's a husband. He's a father. He's the patriarch of his family. He's a man who is obedient unto God. He's a man that God said was righteous and unlike all the other men of the world. He's the man who built the ark. But I want you to take note of something. Noah didn't do this all by himself. First and foremost, Noah had God, right? Couldn't have done it without him. Everything that we do for the glory of God is because of God. Let's make that clear. But the second thing I want you to note is I want you to see the impact that we already see that Noah is having in his family. And that impact begins with the salvation of their bodies, their lives, because of the impact that Noah had. Because Noah was an obedient and a righteous man who followed the words of God. Noah, who I have a hard time believing, built the ark by himself. He did not. His sons helped him to build that ark. Where do you think they learned how the craft of their father, how to do the things they were doing? Their father invested into them. Where do you think they got a righteous and godly example from? From their father, who was leading them all of the way. Their father. Do you propose that Noah alone gathered the food and made the preparations for the voyage that was about to come when the flood came? I doubt it. I would imagine that his children had a part in that. Why? Because he was a father with three sons. And if anyone here is a son, you know that dad rarely takes on any type of work that he doesn't get you to join in with. Ain't that right? That's right. What I see here is that he delivered them to safety by way of his obedience to God and through the leadership that he shows his family. Noah, their father, led him. And men, this is a lesson for us. It's a lesson in the way in which we lead our children. It's a lesson in which we are to emulate as fathers. Now, one of the things I want us to note here is that the way we lead our families, and specifically with our children, it will affect them long after we are gone. Men, the way in which you lead your family and the examples that you set for your children will affect not only them, but their families. And that impact will be seen and felt long after you have left. It's a powerful lesson, one which we just catch a glimpse of there with that verse 13 from Noah. I put a note here. Life is a wild ride for all of us. It's full of unexpected twists and turns, floods that come, things that happen that we couldn't possibly prepare for. As fathers, we have a choice to make. Either we can sit back and simply be along for the ride in our families and the voyage that they're taking, or we can be like Noah. We can be like Noah, who instead of simply sitting back and being along for the ride, took the helm. And he began to steer the course for his family, so to speak. And the way in which we see Noah doing that is by his obedience to God and the example that he's setting for his children. It's important for us to think about that. And I have some questions for you this morning. And with each man that we take a look at from the biblical narrative, for each of these men that we look at, I'll have a question or two for you concerning the lessons that we see and some things that you may not have pulled from their stories prior to this. And the questions that I have for you concerning Noah. Men, first and foremost, did you have a leading father who invested that time into you to teach you his skills and crafts, to teach you morals, to bring you into the man that you are today, or at least to have a great hand in it? I ask you, who taught you right from wrong, invested and encouraged you? Who showed you the path to walk? Who gave wise counsel in times that you needed it? If you are a father today, then I ask you this question. Are you a leading father as Noah was? Or are you simply along for the ride? Because if you're along for the ride, men, that life will pass you by and you will find yourself at the end of it looking back, wondering where the time went and wishing that you had been a leading father. Something to think about. We are so blessed by our fathers who invest time into us. So blessed. If you go just a little further into the book of Genesis, head with me over to chapter 18 now. So as I was speaking there of Noah, I told you that Noah was the leading father, right? The leading father. In Genesis chapter 19, or chapter 19, chapter 18, verse 19, we come to a well-known man in the Old Testament and throughout the Bible. That man's name, of course, is Abraham. There's a song that they call him Father Abraham. Father Abraham had many sons. A song that I used to sing as a young man in church and that my kids have sang. But today we're going to talk about Abraham. And Abraham's title is the Faithful Father. Abraham was a man of great faith. In fact, he's known for his faith. We see in the Word of God that it tells us that Abraham was a man who was justified. It was counted to him as grace, his faith was. So in verse 19, I want to read with you, verse 19 of chapter 18 there in Genesis. And verse 19 says this. For, this is God, by the way, let me preface that. This is God speaking about Abraham, right? This is the Lord speaking about him. Here's what he has to say of this man. For I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord, to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. There's a couple of things which I want us to look at and to pull from this text. I want us to see this. It's very important. The first thing I want us to see is that, remember a moment ago, speaking of Noah, I said that, fathers, your impact will be felt and will be seen in the lives of your children long after you're gone. I want you to tie into that statement now and look at that in the face of what we're reading here. God himself acknowledges this. God himself is acknowledging that. And he's making that same statement. He says, for I know him. And the first and foremost thing we have to remember when it comes to being a good fathers, when it comes to being a father, is do you know God? Does God know you? We see here that God says, I know him. But notice what he says about him and what he knows about him. He says, that he will command his children and his household after him. Fathers, we see here that he is a faithful man, but we see that faith being played out in his life and in the lives of his family, that he is telling them, this is what's right. This is the Lord. This is who we shall worship. This is how we shall worship. This is who God is. And where do we see this? He says that as he commands them, what is the effect that that's going to have on their lives? And one day, the lives of their children and all the generations to come. What does it say there in the text? And they shall keep the way of the Lord. To do justice and judgment. All of us that are here today, just a thought, who had a godly father like that? Huh? How many of us had a godly father who was a righteous man, who loved the Lord, who instilled those beliefs into you, that showed you his faith in his life, who made sure that you were in church, who made sure you had the Word of God, who made sure that you knew the Lord, made sure that you knew what the Lord's commandment was to do justly? I was one who was blessed with that. As fathers, that's one of the things that we're called to do and called to be. And you notice that we see the impact that that's having. It says, they shall keep the way of the Lord. We see that Abraham was a father who was involved in his children's lives. He was involved, teaching and commanding them concerning God. And you know, this goes right into a famous proverb. It says, train up a child in the way that they shall go, and when they're older, they'll not depart from it, right? This is important for us to keep in mind, because where we first see God is in our parents. That's the first place where we begin to see who God is in the example of our parents, if they're godly men and women. And this is something which is true today. Here's my closing thought for Abraham and who he is, how it applies to us as fathers. Because we have a responsibility as leaders in the home, especially spiritually. Now, yes, men, we as fathers, we have overall accountability for everything in the house, right? That's what it means to be the father. We're responsible for provision. We're responsible for teaching. And that provision goes far more than just monetary, financial provision. It goes into spiritual provision, emotional provision. It goes into teaching and investing in them. Something that I have learned is that what makes someone truly a father isn't the fact whether or not they're the ones responsible for you just biologically. It involves investing into you so that a piece of them becomes a part of you. And that is why when you see someone who has a close relationship with their father, now here's the thing, biologically you may say, okay, you look a lot like your dad, or you look a lot like your mom or dad, right? That's something that's biologically that we get from them. But the way in which we think, the things that we say, the things that we do that remind other people who knew our parents, who reminds them of them, those are the things we get from them from the time that they invest in us, the time that's spent with us. And that goes right into our faith. Here's the questions that I have. Men, are you a faithful father? Are the things that you are instilling into your children, the things that they're getting from you, the ways that they think, their thoughts on God, their relationship with God, are they emulating you? Are you showing them something that is worth emulating? Are you a righteous father, as Abraham was a righteous father? Are you following in his footsteps? Are you training up your children in the way that they should go? Furthermore, do they hear it in your words? And do they see it in your footsteps? Piercing questions, but questions worth asking. And all the more reason as we think back on our fathers, how thankful we should be that we have those fathers, that were righteous men, the work that was put in there, the sacrifices that were made. How blessed you are if you had that father. Now, if you would please come with me, we're going to go over to 1 Samuel. And now we've taken a look at two fathers who I said that we ought to be emulating, right? We looked at the faithful father, right? We looked at the faithful father. We also looked at the leading father. But if you head over with me to 1 Samuel, we're going to take a look at chapter 2 of 1 Samuel and head on down to verse 22, right? Head on down to verse 22. So chapter 2, verse 22 of 1 Samuel. And here we see a man by the name of Eli. Now, you may think this is strange, the title that I gave to Eli, but if you know the story of Eli and his sons, well, then you'll understand exactly what I'm trying to get across to you. I have titled Eli, the neglecting father. This is an example which we ought not to emulate, but one that we should be aware of, right? Eli is the neglecting father. Read with me there at verse 22. Now, Eli was very old, and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel, and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. Little background quickly about Eli, because as Brother Keith had pointed out this morning, context is king when it comes to understanding the message that the Bible is giving us. We need to understand what's happening so that we can understand what it's trying to tell us about what's happening, right? So who was Eli? Quick introduction. Eli at this time was the high priest of Israel, and as such, he had great responsibilities to God and to the nation. However, Eli was also a father, as we have just read there in the text, that he had sons, and he has great responsibility to those sons as a father. Unfortunately, Eli, it would appear, has neglected to attend to his house in the way that he should have, when he should have. It would appear that Eli did not train up his children in the way that they should go. The result, as we see, is that his sons grew up and were not good and righteous men as their father was. They were not like their father, and I would say this is because their father did not invest into them. Possibly because he did not invest into them. And the reason that I say that, you say, well, how do you know he didn't invest in them? How do you know they didn't just go astray? And here's why. Because it says there in the verse that we just read, and he heard all that his sons did unto all Israel. In other words, it's like he was getting this information from a secondhand source, as if he didn't know what his sons were up to, right? Here's the lesson for us to learn, and it's a powerful one. It's a convicting one, especially for me. And the reason that I say it's especially convicting for me is because, as many of you know, I've been a military dad for a long time. I've been away from my children for a large amount of time. Both when I was home, even often I wasn't home. I was there, but I didn't have the time to spend with them, and I didn't spend the time that I should have quite often. I think for many of us as fathers, we can relate to that. I doubt that I'm the only one in the room who feels that way, unfortunately. It's something that we constantly try to balance and struggle with, is the time that we're giving to those children, to our families. And it's not that we don't want to. It's that we get so busy in trying to live up to the expectations of fatherhood that the world has put on us, that we forget about the most important thing that we provide our children, and that's you. That's you. It's not the house. It's not the nice things that they have. It's not all the vacations that they get to go on. It's not the place, it's not the ways in which we spend that time. More so, it's the amount and the quality of that time. Quite often I've found, and my heart tells me too late already, I found that it doesn't matter if my kids have a little bit of time with me that I saved up to take them to Disney World and spend, you know, 3 or 4 days with them there. They would have much rather had me home instead of working that overtime and had those days and those hours of just time with me where I could be investing into them. Because your children become you by spending time with you. And here I see Eli as the neglecting father. Though he was a righteous man, though he had great responsibilities to God as the high priest, though he had great responsibilities to the nation as their priest, that does not take away from his simple and great responsibility of being a father to his children. Being a father. Life gets busy, many obligations, goals, desires, and expectations. Often we struggle. We struggle to provide financially, emotionally, spiritually. Many of us also, in addition to providing for our children, are also trying to provide for our own desires, our own dreams, our own aspirations for our life. As we do this, we get caught up, and what you'll find is that all the different directions that life will pull us, there are very few things, if any, which truly matter in the end. Very few of the things that we chase are worth chasing. Priority should be placed upon our relationship with God and then with our relationship with our families. Nothing else that you provide, nothing else that we do will have greater impact in their life, both in the life that they have here on earth and the life that they'll have in the days following their life on earth, that is to say, in eternity. We must not allow ourselves to get so wrapped up in trying to be a father that we neglect being a father. This was a convicting part of the message for me, who spent, like I said, too much time away trying to be a dad, and because of that, failing, in my opinion, to really be a dad. Men, don't let those days pass you by, okay? My father said something to me, and I'll share this with you as we get ready to close up, and I'll close up the message here in just a little bit. We've got one more man to talk about. My father said something to me that I want to share with you. For some of you, it's not too late. This time hasn't gone by yet, so listen well if you have young children, okay? I had to learn this from a man who was in his 50s who, I have no doubt, was telling me, hoping that I didn't make the same mistake he did because he saw me making it. And here's that lesson. When my oldest daughter turned 9 years old, that's Jasmine, when she turned 9 years old, my father came to me and he sat me down. He said to me, "Son, how does it feel?" That's all he said. I had no idea what he was talking about. None. So I was like, "Feels good. Always feeling good. You know, just being me." And he sat me down and he goes, "No, sit down." And then I knew, okay, Dad's about to lay the wisdom down on me because he had that serious face, you know. I was like, okay, what'd I do? And he goes, "Son, I want you to think about something. How does it feel to know that Jasmine's 9 years old? You know what that means?" I said, it means she behaved long enough to live this long. What is it supposed to mean? He goes, "What it means is this, son, half of all the time that you have to really invest in her day in and day out as a father, half of that time, 50% of it, son, it's gone. It's gone. 50% of the time you have with her under your roof to train her up in the way that she should go, to show her the righteousness of God in your life, to invest into her, to tell her how important she is, half of it's gone." And then he looked at me and he asked me, "How have you spent it, son?" That was a painful lesson. Learn it now if you have young children. Don't learn it when you're 50 looking back. The last man I want us to talk about, we're already in Samuel, 1 Samuel. Head over to chapter 20. First Samuel chapter 20, go to verse 30 with me. We're going to talk about Saul. This is the second of the lessons that I want us to learn not to emulate. Do not emulate. I know we're running a little bit late today, but I promise you, it'll be a blessing to your life. So, Samuel, there, read verse 30. I'm going to read a little bit here, right? This is 30 through 33. I'm going to read this, then we'll talk about it, and we'll close out. Then Saul's anger, now this is Saul, the first king of Israel, not Saul who became Paul, right? We're in Samuel here. So, then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan, that's his son, and he said unto him, "Thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do I not know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and under the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die." And Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, "Wherefore shall he be slain? And what hath he done?" And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. And a javelin, in case you're unfamiliar, that's basically a spear, okay? Basically a spear. A spear that's made to throw rather than to stab, all right? So here's what I want us to get from this. I don't have any doubts that Saul loved Jonathan, his son. I don't have any doubts of that. What I do see, though, is something that we as fathers sometimes do and regret later because we react instead of respond. A reaction is something that you do from instinct. You don't think about it. You don't put any thought into it. You just, something happens and you just react. A response is something that you stop and you think about. You do it purposefully. This, friends, isn't a response that we see here. This is a reaction. He's reacting in anger. Fathers, I want to warn you today to be careful that you do not react in anger. There's two things that we see Saul doing here, which is damaging to his son. Something that, again, I'm humbled by because as a father, I've reacted in anger before. I've thought to myself, shouldn't have handled that way. It's a lesson to me. First thing we see here is that he abuses him. And I call Saul the abusive father. He abuses Jonathan verbally, emotionally. He calls him, you know, and he insults him, a son of a perverse woman. And basically what he goes on to say is that, you know, your mother should be ashamed of you. You've shamed your mother, and he goes on. So he insults him verbally. Fathers, be careful that we don't do that. Okay, it's easy to say something in anger without thinking, be like, ah, dummy, stupid, come here, dumb, right? You may not think much about it, but you could be hurting them very much. Second thing I see, and I hope that this never happens to any of us, I hope none of us have ever experienced this. You see here where that anger takes the next step. It goes from emotional, where he speaks without thinking, he gets angry and insults his son, but it goes from there to the physical, where he casts the javelin. Could have killed him. Could have harmed him, right? It becomes physical. This is a sign of physical abuse. Man, I know we're passionate, okay, guys? I know we get fired up pretty quick. Different things, some of us, we don't handle so well. But we need to be careful, especially as fathers, as just people in general and as men, but also as fathers especially, that although being a father can be very trying and difficult, if not sometimes, often can be difficult, all right? Keep in mind that we have to respond to the difficulties of that challenge and not react to them. It's far easier to do things right the first time and get the results that you want in the end than it is to try to fix the damage that's caused by doing it wrong. Straight to the point, what do you think would have happened had Saul not missed with that javelin cast? I think we know. No more Jonathan. Here is my closing statements. The last man that I want us to look at is you. The last man that I want to look at is you. And I'm going to read a swath of scripture here from Ephesians. And this is the man that you're called to be, fathers. We'll close out with this. So from Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 14 says this. And man, I want you to think about this. This is the father you're called to be. All right? We need to stop trying to be the father that you think that you are. Don't try to be the father that you think that others think that you are. Don't worry about being the father that you think you're expected to be, but instead, aim to be the father that you're called to be. Let me explain what that means. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You're blessed. According as he hath chosen us in him, you're chosen, before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy, you are to be holy, without blame, before him in love, having predestined us under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, you are a child of God, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. You are accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption, for you've been redeemed through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time he might gather together one in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of the truth of the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Fathers, that's the man you're called to be. That's the man that you are if you are in the Lord. Is that the man that your children see in you? tells us that we're blessed. You're chosen. You are holy, blameless, predestined, adopted, loved, redeemed, forgiven, sealed, and much more. We must be the man that God has called us to be. This morning, if you don't know God, if you don't have the relationship with your Heavenly Father, if you're lacking that, you're going to have a very difficult time. If not, it's going to be impossible for you to be the man that you're called to be, the father that you're called to be. God has chosen you from the beginning of the world. He said that whosoever will may come. Today, if you've not been forgiven for your sins, if you do not have a relationship with Almighty God, the Father who said He will never leave you nor forsake you, then in a moment as the congregation sings, you're invited to come down and I'll talk to you about it. I'll show you how the Word of God tells you you can have that relationship. If you're nervous or shy about doing that in front of all of these people, if you maybe just want to dedicate your life back over to the Lord, if you're a father today and you just want us to pray for you about being a father, you're invited to come. Maybe you don't want to come down in front of these people. You can meet me in the office afterwards. You can call me. My phone number is on the door on the way out on the right-hand side. Please join us as we pray for today's message. Please join us as the congregation sings. Got mixed up.